May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please have a seat. You'd think after nearly 2 years of preaching with a mask and mics and figuring out how to make it all work together, and even adding glasses, I haven't always worn glasses, so I'm already breaking down in front of your eyes. But trying to figure out how to make all this work, you'd think I'd have a better handle on it by now. But I think we're all learning that we just go with the flow these days. But one thing that's different than these past 2 years is I finally have a people to which I get to preach. For the last 3 years, I served in the Diocese of Upper South Carolina on the bishop's staff, and part of my job was to drive around the state. South Carolina is really small, so you drive everywhere. You don't fly like you do here. And so I was preaching to a new congregation every week, pretty much. And that it was wonderful. I loved my call there and the work we got to do together. But folks there didn't know my story. More importantly, I didn't know their stories. So when I was preaching, I was basically just preaching what I thought God wanted to say in general. Hopefully today begins a ministry in which I get to preach what I think God is saying to all of us together into our shared lives. Now, one thing I pointed out my wife and kids, and I'll get this microphone fitted to my face and figure out how to bend these wires the right way. Not for y'all in here. I have a big voice, you'll soon learn, and so I can fill this room, but I guess the folks on Facebook want to hear me as well, maybe. But in addition to my wife and kids, my mom's also out here. So if you have any problems with me, y'all can talk to her after the service. So my mom lives about 30 minutes or so from here. I grew up on the west side of Fort Worth. And if y'all seen my bio and all that the church has sent out, y'all know a little bit about my story. And I'm looking forward to learning more about y'all's stories as we journey together. But it seems for the readings, we pick up in the middle of stories, right? Whether if I was going to preach from the gospel, it's the second week in a row in which Jesus is talking about bread, right? We're kind of preaching through John 6 a little bit. Or as we're going to look at today, we're looking at Ephesians. And these last several weeks, the lectionary has been working us through Ephesians. And so we pick up, like we are today, where we're starting in the middle of each other's stories. Even in our lectionary, we're picking up in the middle of an ongoing story. And if we think back to a couple weeks ago when we read Ephesians, we saw how God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be adopted children. That beautiful language from Ephesians 1, holy and blameless before God. But then Ephesians 2 quickly reminded us that we're actually outcasts, that we're separated from each other, we're separated from God, but that in Christ God has taken two disparate groups, Jews and Gentiles, two warring people, two sets of enemies. And God broke down in Christ the wall of hostility and made them into one new thing, the body of Christ, which is what we are today. And then Ephesians 3 remembered all of that work that had gone before, and Paul gave praise to God for this past work, talking about where we had been, praising God for what God has done in us, and looking back at the journey thus far. But then we come to Ephesians 4 today. Ephesians 4 makes a turn. It no longer looks to the past of what God has done, but it looks to the future at what God is and is going to do. And as we start together today, both of those are important. Like the first part of Ephesians, the past has shaped St. Martin's. The past has shaped me. But now the future calls us together. And Paul gets right at it in our section today when he talks about how we are supposed to do this thing called being the body of Christ. Paul is emphatic. He says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. I beg you. Now, I must say, we need to take a moment here, and I'll make an important theological statement that I believe and that we will believe here at St. Martin's. When we hear words like this, lead a life worthy of your calling, we have to remember emphatically, we are made whole and holy by grace alone through Jesus Christ, not by anything we do. Not by how many times we show up to worship, not by how many times we serve others, none of it. We are made whole and holy through Christ. But God's grace, God's love, God's embrace showered on us can't do anything but compel us to lead a life worthy of that love. So, how do we do that? I think our reading from Ephesians gives us some hints at how we do lead this life worthy of the calling before us. And it is, quite simply, that we do it together. Paul, in talking to the people of Ephesus, talked about the importance of togetherness. God, talking to the people of St. Martin's today, is reminding us of the importance of togetherness. Because we, as followers of Jesus, are one body. We're Christ's body together. And today, you and I, priests and people, we become one community together. So there's a couple aspects of this togetherness that I think Paul lays out for us today that are important for us to remember as we start this journey. And the first, I think, is quite simply that being together doesn't mean being the same. Paul is talking here to people from all different walks of life, people with all different values, people with all different experiences. But he talks to them as a group because they are one body. And let's look at our congregation as well. If you look around, you'll see people from all walks of life. You'll see people with differing values. We'll see people with different stories. We'll see people with different hopes, different dreams, different football teams. Although if you are a Baylor Bear, we're going to have some problems. But as tempted as we might be, we in here cannot look at each other the way the world wants us to look at each other. As a set of boxes to check, a set of criteria that we either have or we don't have, or a set of binary labels that say we're either in or we're out. We won't do that in here. God doesn't let us do that. Because the truth is, we are all unique individuals. We are all uniquely created by God in the image of God. And yeah, we each have our own weaknesses and our own junk that we need to work out, and that's okay. And we bring that into this place as well. And we hold that with each other. Because our junk doesn't keep us from God. And our junk won't keep us from each other. The second thing about this walking together, I think Paul teaches us today, is that being together means that everyone contributes. Our reading goes on to say the gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Now, some people might think that it's the priest's job to do church. I really hope y'all don't think that. My experience so far this week is that y'all don't think that. Because truth be told, y'all did not hire me to be a professional Christian so y'all could show up occasionally on Sunday mornings and then go have brunch. That's not why y'all called me. That's not why God has called you together. God has called you together because God has called some of you to be teachers, prophets, apostles, vergers, mowers, scout leaders. God has called each of us to a particular ministry. And this whole thing we call the church doesn't happen unless we all contribute. And I think the third aspect of walking together Paul gets at is that being together probably means there's going to be some growing pains. The whole basically second half of our reading from today is Paul saying, as nicely as Paul can say it, stop being children and grow up. That's pretty common in what Paul tells folks in Scripture. But he gets it here. My boys have been doing football camp at Richland High School this week. You know, we're really trying to get in. We live down in Birdville ISD. They're going to be Richland Royals someday. And so we're trying to embrace this whole world. And so we sent them to football camp. And every morning they would wake up, "Dad, I'm so sore. Dad, I'm so sore." But every morning I reminded them, what does that soreness mean? That soreness means you're getting stronger. For the human body to grow, for the human body to get stronger, first muscles have to break down, and then it grows back together. And any time a group of diverse people get together and try to do anything, let alone something like we're trying to do here, where we're going to change the world, there's going to be some soreness. There's going to be some growing pains. And because we're all human, there's going to be some conflict. I think that's why Paul begins this whole reading that we had today with these words: with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. I love that phrase. Bear with one another in love. In other words, a huge part of our calling to walk together as followers of Jesus is learning how to put up with each other. Even when, maybe especially when, we disagree and bug each other. Because I'm certain, at some point, I am going to bug the heck out of y'all. I actually don't see my kids nodding. We're going to disagree about things, and that's okay. Healthy, growing, vibrant congregations and communities full of diverse and gifted people are going to have disagreement. But how we walk with each other in and through those disagreements, in and through the challenging times, that is how we live a life worthy of our calling. We do it together. It's easy to do it together when things are going well. God calls us to do it even when things get hard. And we are going to do it together. Now, I don't think it's a coincidence that this reading from Ephesians came up on our first Sunday together. This reading clearly lays out our job descriptions. This reading clearly lays out what we are called to do. God has called you all to be the people of St. Martin's. God, through you, has called me to be the rector here for a time. But most importantly, God has called all of us. God has called all of us with our unique giftings, with our different roles to play, even with our own mess and junk. God has called all of us to be the body of Christ in this part of the world. And I'm so thankful we get to do it together. Amen.